Well, I've told several of you this morning. I'm an old man who's getting older. Glasses, a cane, stumbling around. But you're very kind, and I know that you will tolerate me. And I do strange things. It's like that last hymn that we sang together, Because He Lives. I changed some of the wording while I was singing it. Verse 2, how sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy she gives. Yeah, we've got a newborn baby in our family, and it's a she. So there you go. That's what I did there. And I'll admit it. I am delighted to be back here. I see I've lost my title. Yes, it's supposed to say Pastor Emeritus. Oh, yeah, and I cherish that. That is such a special thing to me. Doesn't mean anything in the whole world, but it means something to me. The best thing we can do as we begin to hear a message from God is to read His message. So if you would, turn to the back of your bulletin and follow with me as we read together John, the 14th chapter, verses 15 through 26, and that's the New International Version, the NIV. And I want to point something out to you as you're reading it. Because the NIV doesn't do this, so I changed the scripture too. There are a lot of biblical translations that do this. They capitalize every pronoun that stands for God because they capitalize God, because they believe God is to be capitalized. So you'll notice right from the very beginning, if you were reading this the way NIV has it printed, it would be, if you love me, very small dumb m, keep my very small m, and I will ask the Father, and He, small h. So I went all through this, and I asked Laura and Darwin if they would print it that way, and look there. Sure enough, they did. But I think what that does is it honors God. And so I believe that's what I like to do when I read the scripture. I read it with capital letters for the pronouns. So, John 14, one of the great chapters in John. He's speaking to his disciples. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Verse 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word and of our hearing of it. Jesus prepared. Have you been too? I think maybe it'd be a good idea to explain that title. Excuse me. I have a lot of problems with congestion. But I think it'd probably be a good idea for me to explain this title of this message for today. This is what I gave Laura and Darwin, and I wanted it printed. And as always, they printed it just as I gave it to them. So let's look. Jesus prepared. Have you been to? Well, Jesus prepared. I think you can sort of be comfortable with that part. But the other, have you been to? What in the world does that part of the sermon title mean? Okay, here's a start to what that means, and it's going to mean more and more as we go through this message. Put the two parts together, and the fact that Jesus had been preparing, and take a breath, have you, like Jesus, also been preparing too? Okay, again, what had Jesus been preparing for? And have you been preparing for that which Jesus was preparing for? And the answer for both you and the answer for Jesus, preparing for the event, the blessings of Easter. That's what he was preparing for. Right there at that time in John 14. Now, most of you here know who I am, and I just want to thank you so much. Knowing that I was going to be here, you actually came. That's very good. I appreciate that. Not all of you know me quite as well, but I was here for a long time, long enough that I insist on a thing that they put there. I didn't put it there, but then when it was there, I said, oh man, that is so great. Pastor Emeritus. This is my church of my time in the ministry. This is the church. This is the one I go to. This is the one I look to. This is the one I cherish. Almost 19 years here. But that's 19 years out of 59 years as an ordained minister. I've been a lot of places. Having been a lot of places, this is it. So thank you. Thank you to you folks. Now, I suppose most of you, those who were around, will remember that while I was your pastor here at Bosque Del Baptist Church, I did some things that are not generally done in Baptist churches. And one of those things was that I spoke about and sometimes did those things that are regularly observed in other Christian churches, but not so much in Baptist churches. Like giving attention to special days or events in the calendar. For instance, recognizing the concept of Lent. I believe we did that here. The 40 days of preparation leading up to Easter Sunday. That's what Lent is, 40 days of preparation. Now, if you count them, you'll come up with more than 40. Because Sundays, and I want to remind you, Sundays are not counted as part of Lent because Sundays are worship days. They're the Lord's day. So you count the other days, so the other 6 days of the week, and you'll get 40 days. I also spoke about and observed here Maundy Thursday, Pentecost Sunday, Epiphany, and some of the Jewish special days like Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the Jewish New Year, and the 7 days of Hanukkah that finish out the calendar year, the year that includes our Christian Christmas. And that all leads into what I am doing today, observing some of what Lent is about. So the Christian season of Lent is a 40-day period, begins with Ash Wednesday and leads up to Easter Sunday and the resurrection of Jesus our Christ. It's the 40 days that remind us, they're reminding us those days of the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness in preparation for the start of his ministry among us. 40 days of fasting and temptation by Satan. And so for the 40 days, for those who are going to be religiously observing Lent, this is a time of preparation, a time of some fasting, a time of prayer, a time of almsgiving, and a time of contrition, repentance, and concentration on our own Christian life. If you are one who is in the midst of your Lenten 40 days, you know you began this on Ash Wednesday, March 5th, and the 40 days culminates in April 20, Easter. Jesus was constantly preparing himself for the completion of his ministry, the completion of his teaching, the completion of his leading all who would follow him in believing that he was the Messiah who had come to bring absolute salvation for all who were with him then, and then to all of us, all the rest of us, down through the ages that we're in now. Resurrection, salvation. This we have. After his sacrificial sin-cleansing death on the cross to give us eternal life with him in heaven. Salvation for all believers to look forward to. Because he died and then rose up from death as the image of rewarding perfection. The perfection of what our resurrected life from sinfulness, from sinful imperfection, to sin-cleansed, perfected eternal life. That is who we are to be when we join Jesus in heaven forevermore. So have you been preparing for what the complete Easter event is? The final teachings at the Lord's Supper given just before his crucifixion. That's just before John 13. The horrific experience of the cross. His burial and 3 days in the place of death. And finally, the blessing and power of the resurrection, showing all believers then and from then on the promise of our own resurrection to the rewards of heavenly life someday. Contemplating all of that, the 40 days of Lent are, or can, and should be, an ordered preparation time for us. It's a time we're in the middle of right now. And as our own preparation, we continue to focus on the teachings of our Savior, to pray, to repent, to take some time for religious fasting, and as a time to observe giving. Now, I want us to spend some time today in that preparation of knowing deeply and experientially what Jesus was focusing on in the last days of his life. How, my dear friends, are we to see and hear what Jesus wants us to do to be his, to belong to Jesus? How are we to do that? Well, Jesus doesn't give us anything to confuse us. He doesn't do anything to lead us astray. He says, without a doubt, verse 15, the start of this, if you love me, keep my commands. That's what we're to do. And you know what? That's almost a direct quote of Leviticus 22:31, where God says to Moses, way back then, keep my commands and follow them. And you know, Jesus knows that with all of this crazy world that surrounds us, to keep his commands, that requires a strength of deep commitment. Keeping all of Jesus' commands, staying on the straight and narrow in a world grabbing at us to get us off the right path and yelling at us, come on, join us worldly ones in being more tied to the devil than to God. That's always going to be something with which we need help. Jesus knew that for his faithful ones then, and he knows it for us now, way off in the future, that's where we are. We're far beyond walking side by side with Jesus personally as they did back then and there. They were going to need much help, and so are we. So how in the world can we know his commands? He said very specifically, keep them. You know, my commands. Well, immediately he addresses how tough and how demanding that will be. He knew that because he actually lived in the real day-to-day life of us humans, right in the middle of the temptations of imperfect human life, he lived there, so he knows where we are. He said to them, and he says to us, I'm going to promise to you, I'm going to really do it, I'm going to give you help. Look at verse 16. The Father, that's God himself, Jesus tells him, will give you another advocate to help you, to always be with you. And that advocate is the Holy Spirit. So God and Jesus has now ascended, Acts 1:9, and he's up there with him, the Father. Our God from heaven at Pentecost sent the Holy Spirit to them and to us, Acts 2:2. The Spirit filled those gathered in Jerusalem, and they were immediately helped by him to do acts that were seemingly impossible, but acts that evidenced to all who saw them and experienced them that they were now God-filled people, just ordinary people who, through the Spirit's help, were now extraordinary people doing godly good. Well, given all of that, we still need to see and understand what are the commands of Jesus. You see, it is those commands that we too are to keep if we truly love Jesus. And in our Lent time of preparation, this is serious preparation, joined with prayer and fasting, we are to prepare. And I'm going to have a little moisture. Oh, excuse me. So, now, more on commands. Look at verse 21. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. So let's do a sensible thing here and think about how the disciples that night in the upper room would have understood Jesus' commands. I think it's appropriate for us to understand the word commands as another word for laws. I certainly believe that's the way the gathered disciples were hearing Jesus. They, the disciples, were Jews who had lived under the law given by Moses and the Old Testament instructions of the prophets. All of that law called for obedience to God's command, keeping his commands. Now, since they were fully committed to being faithful followers of Jesus, were they now to release be released from the old law as practiced by the religious leaders of the Jews? Well, Jesus had to say this about that in his first major teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew, the fifth chapter, verse 17. He said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them." And he emphasized it strongly in the next verse, that's verse 18 of chapter 5 in Matthew. "For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." Now, how are we to do this? Keep the commands of Jesus, essentially the laws of God that were given to us. We've seen them over and over in the Holy Scriptures. Well, look again with me at our passage for today, a few verses after that great verse 21. It says, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Now that caused the disciples, or Judas, this is not Judas Iscariot, but this Judas in some other passages is named as Thaddeus, causes Judas or Thaddeus to ask Jesus a question that leads Jesus to emphatically say, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Where he says, "my teaching," that's truly the same as in verse 15, "my commands." Could be my laws, God's laws. And then he nails it home by giving the opposite response by one who just doesn't care what Jesus wants him or her to do. You know, that just plain means to God, "This bloke doesn't even try to obey my commands, and sadly, the meaning of that is tragic to me, God. This person doesn't love me, the one who gave him life." I'd say that person is truly not making any preparations we emphasize in Lent for them to later meet their Maker. Well, I'm hoping this message today has brought some new light to the concept of something called the season of Lent. Why taking an extended period of time, 40 days, to prepare for the wonder and godness of Easter. I'm hoping that can add so much to the blessedness of Christian Easter, preparedness through self-reflection, through prayer, and even sometimes of mindful fasting. It is focus. It is mindfulness on the final days of Jesus and the absolute bodily torture that he went through to provide the redeemed salvation for those of us who love him by following him. I think it's probably obvious that extending our focus on Jesus as our Lord and Savior by having some times of preparation all through the year, akin to emphasis of Lent, would certainly serve all of us well. In preparing this message for this morning, it has become to do times of preparation all through the year for other things. That's become a stimulating idea that I'm wanting to adopt. But for now, let's focus on these 40 days, March 5 through April 20, for some great preparations and then a truly blessed Easter. Now, if you want to find out what are the commands of God, why don't you go to Exodus chapter 20? Oh, you got there the commands of God. They're called the Ten Commandments. Or you can go to Matthew, the fifth chapter, then I think maybe starting the second or third verse, and read the Beatitudes. These are the kinds of things that tell you what God wants us to be doing, thinking about, in order to be following him. I just hope the message today has brought some new life, new light to this concept of the season of Lent. I want to close this morning with a special Carbondale story on good preparations or neglecting to prepare from just a month or so ago. And Larry, this is the one I told you to listen for. You remember, don't you, that in those few weeks ago, we had a horrific storm of rain and even more wind that tore through southern Illinois and other places, and for us, through greater Carbondale. Now, I have a fairly new friend who works for the city in the public works group, dealing with streets and sidewalks and traffic controls and so forth. And he, I guess you can figure, was very overworked following the trees and limbs and all sorts of stuff that was blown all over everywhere, including right in the middle of many of our streets. So he told me about this one thing that I remembered in a very strange way that actually wraps up my conclusion here. So I'll tell you all that. That got your interest, hadn't it? Yeah, I knew. It's got your interest. He and his group got a call about a fairly large evergreen tree that just snapped off almost at the base of its trunk and was lying in the middle of one of these right near in-town streets. So the crew went out there, and then immediately the thing that caught their attention was that this tree was one of five or six similar evergreen trees, all about the same size, but this is the only one among them that had been blown down. And because it was an evergreen, it was still bright green, it had no shed leaves, it was looking actually very healthy, even though many of the hardwoods in that location were leafless and they were looking lifeless. So a bit puzzled, but moving ahead, the public works group began cutting the tree apart down into a smaller size to move it, and they discovered the unseen problem. The nice tree had been steadily sabotaged for quite some time by parasites that had eaten away at the insides of its trunk. And this sturdy-looking tree was nothing more than a thin shell of bark that had always given a false impression of just how healthy that tree actually was not. Outwardly, it looked all right, maybe even looked good, but within, it was corrupted. Now, my friends, when it comes to behavior and comportment, we don't hide anything from Jesus. If we're not obeying him, it's a sure sign that we aren't loving him. So use these 40 days of Lent, my friends, to not be something on the inside that you're not on the outside. Get yourself on the right track with Jesus. Keep his commands and love him. Amen.